listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Today is an adventure in Lutheranism, and it's my turn to have an adventure with y'all. So this is going to be very fun today.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for coming along with me on an adventure. This is scheduled to drop on my baptism birthday, which I thought was very appropriate to have a little adventure in Lutheranism reading through the Bible.
Happy baptism birthday,
Happy
by the way.
Thanks. July 31st. That is my baptism birthday. And this has come up several times now at this point because I think I've been talking about it on several previous episodes about my first foray reading through the whole Bible cover to cover. This is not something I've ever done before. I don't know how it took me 30 some years of my life to get to this point, but here we are. And there's so many individual stories in the Bible. And obviously, so I've been in church since I, you know, before I was even born. So like I know individual Bible stories, but I've never put them in all of the context of the entirety of scripture. So like you hear stories in the lectionary and you're like, oh yeah, I could tell you this story without too much trouble because I've heard it a bazillion times in church. But could I tell you what happens before and after that story and what actually puts it into more of a context of the entire story of scripture? No, probably not. So that has been really, really cool. And I'll get to some of those other like benefits, even though they all stem from one benefit of like reading the Bible's great for you guys. I'll get to that in a second. But I also had to do entrance exams for the seminary a little over a year ago. And I was a little nervous for that. It's been a long time since I was in confirmation class or any kind of structured academic theological study. I had one theological class in college. I must have tested out of at least one. I think there was more than one I had to take, but I only had one with Andrew Steinman at Concordia Chicago. That was the last theology class I took. And I think that was my freshman year. So it's been a long time since I've done any real academic theology. I did pass the exams, but boy, I was humbled a lot in that process, especially the Old Testament one. I passed by the skin of my teeth. So I did it. But I was like, whoa, there is a lot that I either have never learned or really do not remember. And even with the New Testament one, we did Rachel's trivia challenge was really the biggest part where I was like, I'm going to read the Bible. Ask me trivia questions. I'm like, I really should know this stuff. And I just don't.
You're welcome for the trivia kick in the pants.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Actually, and then in our deaconess program orientation a little under a year ago, there was a really strong encouragement to have personal devotion time. They were very specifically like, you're going to read the Bible in class for academic stuff. That does not count. That is not your devotion time. I'm like, yeah, I mean, that makes sense because then you're reading scripture to like pull out certain stuff and analyzing sermons in scripture to see, you know, what they're saying and how they're saying it. And that's not the same thing as just reading for the sake of reading. So I also do Duolingo every day for my learning Portuguese until I can actually take real language classes at some point in my life, which I'd really like to do. But for the moment, it's Duolingo. And I realized I do Duolingo every day. And if I have time to do Duolingo every day, I most certainly have time to read the Bible every day. Like,
yeah, that's fair.
Because people are like, oh, read it every day. And when someone tells me I need to do something every day, it just feels like so much. Like there's so many other things I have to do every day. Like get out of bed and make food and, you know, go to work. Well, that's only five days. But so like adding another thing every day. But I was very convicted when I was like, no, Sarah. That's not an excuse. You do your Portuguese lessons every day. You can absolutely every day. It's way more important.
If you play the Wordle every day, you have time to read the Bible.
Right. Yeah. So for several reasons, I was plenty convicted that this was something I needed to just do. There was no downside. I mean, there is no downside to reading the Bible. No downsides. So the hardest part to anything is just starting, right? Because you're adding something into a routine. You know it's going to be good, but you still have to add something to your routine. And that there's just a learning curve to it, figuring out how you're going to do it and how it's going to work and where you're going to do it in your day. Because if, I mean, at least for me, maybe for other people, you can just like start doing something and it just works. It does not work for me. I have to have at least a semblance of some sort of structure of how it's going to work. Otherwise, I won't stick to it. I wanted as few of roadblocks as possible because I wanted this to be something that would not feel like a burden and that I would be successful in doing. I didn't mm-hmm. want to get halfway through Leviticus and be like, I'm done. This is not working.
Because a classic spot.
Right. Yeah. As I've heard, a lot of people get to Leviticus and they're like, what am I reading? What?
For me, it's halfway through Exodus because Genesis is super spicy. The first part of Exodus is really exciting. And then they get into measuring the like vestments in the temple. Yeah. And I just tune out. Yeah. Like, we got to learn to see it. And then it's beautiful. Right. All those pomegranates, though. So many pomegranates.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wanted this to be something that could be successful, that I wouldn't be like, oh, I have to read the Bible today. It's such a drag. Like, I didn't want to feel that because that's not good for a variety of reasons. I didn't want to feel that way about reading the Bible. I wanted to read a hard copy, like an actual book. That was my original goal. That lasted about, I don't know, 3 or 4 days before I realized that a roadblock is that, oh, I don't have my Bible with me. I guess I can't do it. Mm. So I just switched to my phone. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to read it on my phone. I was trying to avoid that, but I always have my phone with me. There is no excuse. If I travel.
Whatever works.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever works.
Uh-huh. And I have the Lutheran Study Bible app, which I do pay for. It's like $10 a year or something. It's very reasonable. It'll read to you, which is very nice. It's a nice feature. I was straight up just reading it for a while, but I turned on the voice just, I don't know, a few weeks ago. And it's so pleasant to listen to the nice voice while it reads along to you.
Is it like a narrated or is it like an auto?
No, it's narrated.
Okay.
I think I am pretty sure, like 99% sure, it's the same narration as the ESV Bible app.
Okay.
So if you go to ESV.org, I'm pretty sure it's the same narration in both of those.
Can't you choose your narrator in that app?
In the Lutheran Study Bible app?
No, in the ESV.
In ESV, if you pay for extra, you can choose your narrator. There's like eight narrators. There's a whole bunch you can choose from in the ESV app.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And they sound intriguing. Cool. You do have to pay money for it. Yeah. And I'm already paying money for a different one. Right. So I didn't buy the other one. But yes, if you pay for ESV, you get a lot of.
Oh my goodness. Kristen Getty could be your narrator for a paid plan on ESV.
Maybe they have more than one Bible app because you want to be able to listen to some variety of narrators.
Yeah. I'm totally fine paying for something to make it more pleasant. That's fine. The plan is also, so the 2-year plan, I'm doing the Bible in 2 years.
Okay.
The plan is included in the Lutheran Study Bible app.
It's already built out for you.
It is already built out. Mm. There's a checklist. Mm-hmm. It tells you what you're reading that day and you get to check a little box when you're done. It's satisfying. So satisfying.
Yes.
So the plan, the 2-year plan is included. There are 1-year plans included in a lot more places, but I considered the 1-year plan. But the readings are a lot longer and I needed
almost
something
twice as long.
Yeah. I wanted something more manageable. Some of the readings in the 2-year plan are 10 to 15 minutes. Yeah. They are fairly lengthy. Some of them are really short. It's only one chapter.
You kind of do what you're going to commit to.
Well,
so
that's the thing.
You want to be successful.
I wanted to be successful. Uh-huh. I wanted something I could commit to and not have an excuse of like, oh my goodness, it's 30 minutes of reading and I do not have 30 minutes or I'm falling asleep. That was part of it. But also, the 1-year plan, the ones that I've looked at, they combine readings from different books. So like you have a New Testament, an Old Testament reading, a New Testament reading, and a psalm or something, which is a great way to get all of scripture in 1 year. But my whole goal was to read cover to cover.
I wanted to go straight through.
And I know not all the books are in chronological order in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Because they're in order of length, which is fine. But I still wanted the experience of going cover to cover. When I do this again, I might do the 1 year and I might, you know, put the pieces together. But one of the biggest reasons I wanted to do this was to get everything in the context of the whole Bible period. So that was a bigger reason why I didn't do the 1 year plan, because I didn't want to be skipping around. And I really wanted to be, I wanted this to be part of my daily living. So I wanted those shorter readings and to not feel guilty about them being shorter. Mm-hmm. I purchased, there is a Reading the Bible in 2 Years Bible reading journal from CPH. Mm. It was new, I think about a year ago.
Okay.
And I bought it really quickly because I was like, oh, this is great. It's a great tool. It's got like little reflections. You write down things that you've learned, things you have questions
and it's
about.
Directly connected to their plan.
Yes, connected nice. To the plan. Okay. So it's the 2-year plan from CPH connected with this print Bible reading mm-hmm. journal. I also only lasted about 3 or 4 days of that. Because it was a book. And I was like, because uh-huh. I started out reading at lunch at work and very mm. quickly realized that was not going to work because there's other things happening at work and it, I couldn't focus. And
yeah,
it needed to be at home. So I didn't last very long. The journal's still sitting at my desk because I forgot it at work on a Friday. And when I didn't use it. And now it's just sitting there all sad. But, you know, it was a nice start. It was a nice way to like get into the rhythm mm-hmm. for a few days. And I don't know, maybe I'll go back to it the next time I go through it. But my wonder brain, as I call it from Working Genius, I just like to like think about stuff anyway. And so my brain at this point has been sufficient in making connections between things also because I'm in deaconess classes. So I've got other theology stuff going on and I'm reading other books and things at the same time. So I've already got so much going on in my brain that mm-hmm. a journal at this point probably mm-hmm. isn't totally necessary to like understand what's happening. And this will not be the last time I read through the Bible. So maybe I'll go back to it. Good. Or maybe I'll gift it to somebody and be like, just ignore the first couple parts of Genesis that I wrote in.
So when did you start? Like, was it at the January 1? Did you pick this up then? Or did you start just at a time that you wanted to start?
Yeah. So contrary to how I normally like to do things of like picking a nice, neat date to start, I will start on the 1st of the month. I can't even tell you when I started. I just like picked. I just started it.
That day.
With no time like the present. Uh-huh. Just get her done. Get her
exactly.
going.
It was probably a Sunday or a Monday just because that's. Actually, no, I don't think it was. I think I started like in the middle of a week.
Okay.
I was like, I'm just going to do it. It's so against my nature. But I was just like, if I wait, I won't do it. So I just got my Bible out at work one day and started.
Nice.
I can tell you on the day of recording, so we can count back 187 days plus Sundays. So Sundays are not included in the reading plan. It's just Monday through Saturday. I think they assume that you read enough on Sunday and you're in church. It doesn't make you read on Sundays. Mm. I am 187 days into the plan today.
Okay.
Day of recording. Okay. I'm in 2 Kings.
Just about halfway, right?
About
360 would be 150 plus 30, so 180.
There's 627 days in the plan.
Because it's a two-year plan.
Quarter of the way.
Yes.
Okay.
Just about a quarter of the way through. I just read about the axe floating in the water in 2 Kings this morning. Okay. So,
nice.
Yes. When this drops, I will be over 200 days somewhere in Chronicles. Hmm. So it's very exciting reading about all the kings. Yes. So there's 627 days in the plan, no Sundays. So I'm getting there.
Okay.
Travel season will be the challenge. I've got 4 trips happening this summer. And when I was reading through the Psalms on a monthly basis, it was travel season that got me. What was that last year? I think it was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was doing monthly Psalms all the way through. And we went on a trip and I brought my book and I couldn't keep up with it.
Yeah, but it's on your phone.
But it's on my phone.
Yeah,
it is. And we are all in this journey with you. So listeners out there, if you run into Sarah at a KFUO booth somewhere this summer, ask her how it's going with her Bible reading. Give her some accountability.
There you go.
Encouragement.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes. I would appreciate that. Those checkboxes, though, man, when you get to tap that checkbox and it says how many days you're overdue. If you miss a day, it says 1 day missed. And then you feel super guilty and then you read that extra day.
Good.
So there is a little bit. I kind of wish that it was as obnoxious as Duolingo is when I get like 5 notifications from Duolingo.
Yeah, but we're all about grace.
I know.
Like, this is not a legalist thing. This is a gift.
True.
You have the opportunity to be in God's word every day. It's
Duo's a law. Are you going to do your streak, Sarah? Don't forget your streak, Sarah. Are we even friends anymore? Man, it guilts you so much.
Wow.
So maybe it's probably a good thing that the Bible doesn't do that.
Yeah, I feel that was a good choice on the app developers.
Are we friends anymore, Sarah? Are you going to read about God today?
Yeah,
that'd be pretty bad.
Yeah.
Originally, I was reading at bedtime because that's just kind of how it ended up. I wasn't planning on that. I was just, that's the part of my day where I have a little bit less structure in my life. So like, that's when I'm like, oh no, I didn't do this today. So I do it really quick before I go to bed. If I do bedtime readings while I travel, that is my plan right now. We'll see how it works, because I have to go to bed every night when we travel.
That's true.
And I'm typically in a hotel. And what else am I going to do except read my Bible before I go to bed? So that's that is my plan to be successful.
Okay.
When I've already thought about this. When I travel, it'll be part of my bedtime routine.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if that happens, but that's my plan. This drops after we've gone on two trips. So I will have maybe some updates in our social media posts if I was successful.
You know what? Even if you drop it for a, if you come back to it, you can catch up.
Oh yeah.
You can catch up.
Yep.
So yeah,
it'll be okay.
Even if you miss some, don't let that be like a discouragement of like, I'm now 6 days behind.
That just means you get second helpings when you get to catch up.
Exactly. Right. You'll read a lot, but then you'll be caught up again.
Yeah. This has been a very good lesson of being okay with structure. And also when you miss something in your routine, just going back to it. And I mean, I tell this to people all the time about exercise routines. Like if you miss a day, don't worry about it. Just go back to it. Like it's just going back to it. That's important.
Yeah.
So same thing happens.
Yeah.
So the differences, the impact this has made in my life. The biggest one is context. I really have just enjoyed reading stories that I know within the larger picture of the book. It has been so cool. I cannot overstate this. Like I said, you know all these stories from the lectionary, but then that means you also only know the stories from the lectionary or like Bible storybooks, but seeing them in context and how they all kind of flow together through the Old Testament, which is all I've done so far. It just makes a difference in understanding those threads through scripture when you're not jumping around, when you do see the life of Abraham all at one time. Mm-hmm. It just makes a lot more sense, I think. And I like doing that. I first had this realization reading, of all things, Sodom and Gomorrah. But it's right after Abram has had the promise, like it's after the three angels visit Abram. And I did not realize those stories were back to back until
it's the same angels.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then Abram's looking at the cities and he's talking, and like that all happens in context all at the same time. Uh-huh. I had no idea. I was like, how did I miss this? But I missed it because I never read those stories back to back. They're in different parts.
And like the pericope, we don't go from one to the other.
Right.
If we get them both, they're broken into separate stories.
Yeah. So you wouldn't, unless you pay attention to chapter numbers, which I generally don't, you wouldn't really necessarily know that. But, and I don't know that it makes a huge difference. It's just so interesting to see.
Well, seeing that seeing that whole story in context, you really understand a lot better.
Yes.
And the choices that he made that led him to just basically a lot of trauma and heartache.
Yeah.
That is very, very cautionary for us. Mm-hmm. You also sort of see the origins of the Moabites and how that will lead to some complications later on down the line for Abraham's descendants. And then too, you'll see this, pay attention as you go through scripture, the Sodom and Gomorrah story shows up in a lot of places, like weird places you wouldn't necessarily expect. It is frequently referred to throughout scripture as a warning to God's people. But you miss that if you are not seeing the whole big picture altogether.
Yeah. Everything in context is just really cool. Reading the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal in the context of a struggle against Ahab and Jezebel. Like, you know that that's what's happening. But when you read all of it together and you get the full story of Ahab and Jezebel and what Elijah goes through with that whole thing, it just, the pieces just make more sense in
Those prophets were her pet prophets.
Yes.
Jezebel.
Right. Yeah.
So there are consequences for that story.
Yeah. And you don't get all of those in-between pieces in other lectionary or in like Bible story books. You miss the connective tissue between a lot of the stories.
That is a great phrase, connective tissue.
Yeah. You get all the stuff in the middle and that just the stories flow, and you see how the story of God's people progresses through the Old Testament. So making connections then too with just other parts of scriptures, there's these dots that are connecting all over the place. And that's happening too because of seminary stuff and, you know, being in class and listening to stories from all over the place and connecting them to what I'm reading in that moment. Just get a fuller picture of the entire story. And more Bible is always better. It's just kind of a rule of life. So that's fun. I am getting more familiarity with scripture too. It's a slow burn because it's the 2-year plan. Maybe that's helping me become even more familiar. I'm not rushing through it. I'm taking it in little tiny chunks. And that is really helping with familiarity that I've just really never had before. Even knowing stories, I haven't known like the whole thing all at once. Because it all connects, I'm just understanding more, recognizing things, having a lot of aha moments, which is just really fun. And everyone says that it'll make a difference in your spiritual life. It totally does.
Oh, yeah.
Feels pretty obvious, but like you don't really know that until you do it and you're in the middle of it. And then you start to recognize what that actually means for you. It's similar to formation in seminary, but like this is formation just as a child of God. And it feels like the same thing, really, where you can tell you're changing, but you can't really explain it because the Holy Spirit's just working on you and you can tell that, like, you can just tell you're different and you can tell that you weren't the same person as you were a few days ago because you're reading scripture and you're understanding more. And this is just a lifelong process. It just goes on and on and on forever. And it's really cool. I like it.
Spiritually, it feels to me, having had a similar adventure a few years ago, like going from eating nothing but fast food and junk food to like eating vegetables and, you know, protein and really good, you know, fruits and dairy and really good stuff. And all of a sudden it's like you wake up and you're like, I don't know when or how, but I feel better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel righter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a gradual thing, but it's like you're giving your soul the nourishment that it really needs on top of all the cotton candy nonsense that we take in every day. Mm-hmm. But here is a good, solid, well-balanced spiritual meal that if you commit yourself to a steady diet of it, will make a difference. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. To close this out, I have just some encouragements and resources. So if you either haven't read through the Bible all the way through or it's been a long time, just start. I mean, there you don't need to wait until the first of the month or a Monday or next year. Just like do it. There's really no perfect time. We've said that. Don't wait till next week. Just like, I don't know, pull out your YouVersion app. Figure out what works for you. There, I don't know, maybe there's a right way to do it. There's probably some wrong ways to do it, but
yeah.
But I mean, figure out what works for you in your own schedule. Maybe pick a Bible app. There are so many Bible apps, but pick one and use it. There's three that I think are maybe the best ones. There is a CPH Study Bible app. Highly recommend. You can use it for free. You don't have to have an account. You don't have to pay for it. It does require you to sign in with an account, but you don't have to pay for it. It's a subscription of $10 a year if you want extra features. I pay for it, no regrets, but you can use it. And then you get I don't know what you don't get if you don't pay for it because I pay for it. I don't remember. There are certain features that are really nice to have. The ESV app is free and it reads to you. There is a 1-year plan available on there. There is no 2-year plan. So if you want the 2-year plan, the CPH Bible is going to be your better bet. But there is a 1-year plan. Again, there's a lot of paid features on there too. If you want all of those extra fancy voices, you said Kristen Getty is on there. She can read to you.
Yes.
I think there's like 7 or 8 on there.
There's a nice variety. And I'm guessing the subscription is not terribly expensive to get all those bells.
Yeah. And there are a lot of other reading plans on the ESV app also. Really easy to use. I use that for school. I use my ESV account for school. Or for other like Bible reading, so I don't lose my place. I just I use them for different purposes. And then YouVersion, I know, is really, really popular. It is completely free. I don't think there is a paid option. There are some reading plans. It's a little trickier to find a good reading plan on there. Maybe I just haven't used it and don't know where they are. They also come from I browse through them a little bit, and the like more specific reading plans of like read these things this week, they seem to come from a more evangelical background. So there may be some theological concerns there. I don't really know. I haven't used it, but that's kind of the vibe I was getting. So just to be aware of that. If you need accountability, do it with a friend. Never a bad idea to read with a friend. Ask each other one thing you gained from your reading that day or something. Or of course, read with your family. You could do it in person. There's plenty of ways to video call. Like, it doesn't matter if your family lives in a different city. You could always video call and like read to each other or read to your like godchildren or your nieces and nephews. Like, that would be fun. I think you could do that. I kind of brushed off the like, it'll change you comments because I am very much not a hype rally, rah-rah kind of person. So I was like, yeah, whatever. I mean, maybe it might, but like it really does. And it's worth it. Even if you're reading on your phone, it's just, it's worth it. And I think I've said this before, we tend to overcomplicate things. I overcomplicate stuff for sure. I must need a structured plan before I can do something. And if I don't stick to my plan, then it's going to be a problem. But you don't have to do that. It's time to read scripture and to let the Holy Spirit work. You don't have to do like super deep exegetical work and write really long reflections unless you really want to. But it's always worth it to read and be in the Word every day. The phrase that always pops back into my head, and I didn't look up the hymn, so I'm not going to remember the name of the hymn, but it's the phrase, "Thy people's pasture is thy word, that our souls to feed and nourish." I love that line. It just, it comes,
I don't even
me.
Know that one.
Nice.
That is some obscure hymn nerdery right there.
It came up because I think Luther mentioned it to me one day, specifically a couple of years ago. I was like, oh, that is a really good line from that hymn. So now it sticks in my head now.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm going to find it. It's part of Divine Service 5. May God bestow on us his grace. It's in there.
Oh, yep. Yep, okay. Yep, yep.
So
I will offer like another resource. So I also have done Bible reading. I did the 1 year plan a couple years ago. And what a resource. I did do some listening. I didn't have an app, and I'm very intrigued by these apps you've shared, Sarah. Yeah. So thank you for that. But one of the things that I ended up getting, and I really ended up appreciating it, was I got, it's called the ESV Reader's Bible.
Oh.
And it is a Bible that is set up, there are no verse numbers on the page.
Oh.
So at the top of the page, you see like the start and the end of the passage that's printed on that page. But as you're reading, you don't see the numbers. There's no notes. Like, so there's no little, it's not a study Bible by any means. Mm-hmm. There's no concordance. It's just the reading. And it's laid out so that it's all on one page. It's not in columns.
So like you're reading a book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's set up to just, it's just for reading. And I found that like I did a 1 year plan, and so it was longer readings, and I found that ended up actually kind of helping me just get into, just focus on the reading and not get distracted of like, oh, how much further do I have to go?
Yeah.
And and then also like jumping down and like, oh, what does this note say over here? And I then like lose my momentum and thread of what I was following. It's just the reading. And so I really appreciated that as a tool for the purpose of Bible reading. And they make them, I believe, in a number of different translations. I got the ESV Reader's Bible, but very happy with it.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. I have heard of people, and I have not done this, but this was a big thing at one of our churches a couple of years ago, reading in a chronological Bible where they take all the books and put them in, you know,
right,
in approximate chronological order. So you can sort of see how the history plays out.
Mm-hmm.
I've never used that. I don't use a Bible app except for research purposes, you know, when I'm looking up stuff for articles. You know me, I'm a book person, but I started on this adventure, Sarah. I too made it to my late 30s without probably ever having read the entire Bible straight through. And it started with a New Year's resolution, and it got reinforced after I had some severe health experiences that the Holy Spirit used as a sanctifying period in my life. But it is now to the point where I can't imagine a day without it. I mean, I can, but those are bad days. Like when they happen, I always do my Bible reading
first thing in the morning. I may have borrowed this concept from our evangelical sisters, but the idea of coffee with Jesus every morning is, it sounds hokey, but to sit down with my morning coffee and my Bible is a very wonderful routine, worth sometimes even getting up early for, if I know something's going to happen. I usually go back and forth. Like when I finish one, I'll switch to a different translation to get a different perspective on it. No paraphrases, just translations, mm-hmm. usually swapping back and forth between the ESV and the King James, which always sticks in my brain a little differently. Although next time I may do the New King James. This year, I'm taking a break from my usual four bookmark method. And I'll tell you my four bookmark method is one. When I start, one goes Genesis 1, I think is usually like Job 1, Isaiah 1, and then Matthew. And then I just follow them through and read a chapter at each bookmark every day. And then usually I run out of space for one of them, run out of reading material on one of the bookmarks, but then I just double up on another one until I make it all the way through. But this year I'm taking a break to work through another great CPH resource, The Treasury of Daily Prayer, which is wonderful if you like just a really nicely parceled out set of scripture readings every day. I'm really enjoying it. What I'm actually enjoying as much as the scripture is the little writings at the end of each day's readings, where they'll have a writing from a church father, a reformer, you know, a great theologian of the church. And a lot of these are completely new to me. So it provides a little extra delight after the usual nourishment of scripture. So I have found exactly as you do, it does change you. You see the world differently. It's easier to live biblically if you're actually reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And as much as I would love to think that we get all that we need from services on Sunday, the truth is 1 hour a week, there's a lot that has to get fit into that hour. And our churches expose us to a lot of scripture that way, especially compared to some other non-Lutheran churches I've visited. We get giant chunks of scripture every week. It's a feast, but there's only so much time in that service. So supplementing daily is a really great thing. I am so delighted that you are on this journey, and I'm so just happy for you and supportive of this. And I will be asking you every time I see you this summer, which I will see you a couple of times. Sarah, how's it going? And you'll know what I mean, because it's just wonderful. It is.
Yeah, it's great.
I wish you well in the bedtime readings. I have never succeeded at that. Well, because I always fall asleep in the middle of it.
Mm.
And I feel bad about that. I don't know why I feel bad about that, because falling asleep in the arms of the Lord is a great thing, but somehow it just doesn't feel right. And so I usually save other worthwhile reading for bedtime. It's like, you know, St. Augustine or something like that, you know.
But
scripture for me is a morning thing.
I didn't mention it earlier, but I started out doing it at bedtime. I have recently switched to doing it in the morning as part of my morning getting ready routine, because I did have a little too many things then happening at my bedtime routine. I keep Duolingo at night, because if I fall asleep doing that, no one cares. Me and my streak. I got to keep my streak, man.
You are so funny.
They matter to somebody. But I switched it to the morning because I was also falling asleep too. I was starting to doze off. Like, this is not good. I'm doing this so I actually read it, not so I check a box and say that I read it, because that doesn't benefit anything. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But it's just good to be flexible. And I can do it whenever, because it's always with me. So that's all I got.
Wonderful.
Ladies, we want to know your adventures in reading through the Bible. If you've got tips and tricks or your favorite ways to do it, or any things you've learned along the way, you can share those with us in our Facebook group, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge on Facebook, and also our Instagram page at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. You can find all of our episodes at kfuo.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge, or on your favorite podcasting app, or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at KFUO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us, too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at KFUO.org/give.